keep it 100 every day.
Shot. Need the facts and stats. Who do you call? Bringing the fire, bringing the heat, we bring it to y'all. Calling for Frank, you calling for D, you calling for ball. Call for them all. Look how they ball, documented, proving the score. No matter the topic of conversation, call up. You gotta be patient. The love is embracing. Don't deal with the hate. Don't know what you facing. Every Monday, 11 to 1, we'll be there if you patiently waiting.
Bring the heat, bring the heat, bring the fire,
bring the fire.
Keep it 100 every day.
What's up, people? What's going on? What's going on? What it do? What it do? What it do? It is your boy, Sports Rap CEO, in the building. And right now, it is time for, you know what, the hottest sports show in the mornings, in the internet, on Monday morning. Your boy is with you, Sports Rap Podcast, LLC, and I am here. You know where I am, all right? You know where I am. Instagram at Sports Rap CEO. On Facebook, Sports Rap Podcast LLC is the group page where I am simultaneously live right now. So y'all can tune in. And got a couple things to get to today. We're going to talk some Eagles. We're going to talk some Sixers. And then we're going to do what we do. We're going to talk some NBA. The NBA is projected to have some rules changes. I have been talking about some rules changes that they're thinking about. So we're going to talk a little bit about them, talk a little stuff, got some stuff going on today. So tune in, make sure you are tuned in. Also, let me know who you are when you chime in on Facebook. Also, of course, you know, on Instagram, I always see the handles. But on Facebook, I need you to let me know who you are if and when you chime in. And I know you will. So please remember that so I can give you your proper acknowledgments on air. So we're going to start off today with some quick news and some updates to get you all started on this Monday morning. Anthony Joshua over the weekend takes out Francis Ngannou in a second round KO. The Reds, Noel V. Marte has been suspended 80 games for performance enhancing drugs. International Women's Day was over the weekend as well. We celebrated that. Caitlin Clark passes Steph Curry's single season NCAA three-point record. I don't know who you are. Lamin San Yang 51 on IG. Thanks for tuning in. Or I am in San Yang 51. Thanks for tuning in this morning. I appreciate the support. I got one person on Facebook. Let me know who you are. I see the number there. So let me know who you are this morning on Facebook. There's now two men's basketball teams, college men's basketball teams, who have been linked to some unusual wagering activity. Those two schools, unfortunately, are Temple as one and Maryland as the other. Eagles six-time Pro Bowler Fletcher Cox retires from the NFL. Baker Mayfield and the Bucks agreed to a three-year deal. Reports are that the Chargers are open to trading Bosa and Khalil Mack. And Kevin Byard, formerly most recently of the Philadelphia Eagles, has apparently agreed to terms on a two-year deal with the Chicago Bears. Also, Russell Wilson is reportedly headed to Pittsburgh on a one-year deal. And 49ers Eric Armstead is set to become a free agent after he declined a pay cut from the 49ers. So, while we're here, let's talk a little bit about this. We all know the 49ers situation. They went to the Super Bowl this past season, ultimately losing to the Chiefs. All right, that's pretty much done and over with now. So, the thing that's happening now is they are beginning to have some discussions and have some talks about players. Like for this, for instance, like I just gave you Eric Armstead, who was becoming a free agent, wanted to take a pay cut. Not surprising to me, folks. It happens. We know how these things happen. Whether you win the Super Bowl or you lose the Super Bowl, things happen. The Philadelphia Eagles went to the Super Bowl and won in 2017. They went back a couple years ago with Nick Sirianni, and they lost that Super Bowl. But what happened was, because of the success they had during that season, they lost coaches, they lost players, and it happens to every team. Whether you win or lose, there's always something that is going to change as far as that roster, the coaching staff, somewhere along the lines, if not multiple things, but there are some things that are going to change once you advance to a Super Bowl. Like I said, whether win or lose, there will be some things that will change. Scotty Philly, good morning to you. Thanks for tuning in, good brother. So, yeah, those things are going to happen. And a lot of 49ers fans are, I guess, in somewhat disbelief. And I'm not saying all of them, but I have witnessed some things and heard some chatter. And some of these fans are, like, in disbelief. In belief that they were going to keep a lot of their players. A lot of those guys would want to just stay around for family, for friendly, team-friendly deals and that nature. You may get a couple that will hang around for a team-friendly deal. But then you're going to get others that will know that they will have some interest in the free agent market. They will have some that will look for a raise due to their performance to stay with the team. And then you'll have guys like Eric Armstead, who will ultimately be released, but who will decline a team-friendly deal, who will decline pay cuts. So it's not every organization that has success with that. The Eagles in the past have had some success with specific players. In essence, on the front face value of contracts, have taken pay cuts, but they've been loaded with incentives. And I'm hoping this is something that when free agency starts, since we haven't heard a lot of traction, is something that they can do with Hassan Reddick. The rumor has been that there is not a lot of teams that want to pay the $25 million that he's asking for per. I think the Eagles, with the notion of trading Josh Sweat and still having him there waiting to see what the potential market could be, could possibly work out something with Hassan Reddick. I'm hoping that they can work out something with Hassan Reddick. And they have some cap space. So, you know, I'm hoping that they can work some things out. But again, getting back to this situation, when you have the kind of success, like we said, that the 49ers had and other teams have had in the past, these are the types of things that happen. And it's always going to happen. It's going to continue to happen because it's a business. And teams see the success that you've had and they want to be part of that. Especially for like teams that are like possibly close. You're going to see a lot of like we say, poaching of coaches and players. And like I said, players that don't want to take pay cuts, or players that don't want to be franchise tagged, will be, you know, set away and be allowed to explore free agency. Which actually begins on Wednesday in the NFL. So we'll see how this thing plays out with Eric Armstead and what goes on there with the free agency and all of that nature. So real quick, right now I'm going to move into some scores from yesterday. I'm going to start with the NHL today. I'm going to start with the NHL. I didn't get the Phillies and the Braves score, but I think the Phillies lost yesterday. But it's still, it's preseason baseball, so it's not really that important. Starting with the NHL, we had the Oilers blank the Penguins 4-0. The Predators and the Wild fight in overtime. The Wild take that 4-3. The Flames fall to the Hurricanes 7-2. The Coyotes fall to the Blackhawks 7-4. And the Islanders get by the Ducks 6-1. And NCAA men's top 25 basketball, we are getting close to tourney time. Wisconsin is in Indiana to face off against number 3 Purdue. Purdue holds on 78-70. Number 12 Illinois is in Iowa. Number 12 holds on 73-61. In women's college basketball top 25, we are into conference tournaments, if you will. In the Big Ten, number 5 Nebraska falls to number 2 Iowa in overtime 94-89. In the ACC, number 2 NC State falls to number 4 Notre Dame 55-51. In the Big East tournament, Marquette falls to UConn 58-29. In the SEC, number 2 LSU falls to number 1 South Carolina, which game ended in a 3-point in a skirmish that got kind of wild for a second. PIP, Benny Blanco, my guy, what's going on? Good morning, good brother. Salute to you as well. I see what you're doing too, homie. Keep up the work, brother. Appreciate you. Yeah, they took him out. Yeah, but you know, but that's what Dawn and them do down in South Carolina. Continue with my scores here in the Pac-12. Number 2, USC against number 1, Stanford. Number 2 in the upset, 74-61. And also in the Big East, Georgetown 55, Creighton 46. Listen, you know, they didn't play no D because they probably didn't think she was going to shoot it, let alone make that shot. So that's how I think that played out. You know, they weren't really expecting her to shoot that. I think it kind of caught them off guard, kind of surprised them a little bit, and they just didn't step up. And then when she hit it, and it was a great shot, and it was also a funny shot. And when I say funny, I mean like awkward, because when you looked at it, and I looked at it over and over again in replays, it was like, you know, it was basically the typical desperation shot, like really, if you want to call it that. And the bank was like off the high part of the backboard and bounced in. It's like, yeah, they stood there and watched her shoot it. You gotta assume, I mean, that's conventional wisdom that she's on the court for a reason, so you use the potential that she can hit that. And you're absolutely right. They have to assume that, and they got to play defense, because at that level, just like I say a lot of times in the pros, at that particular level as well, some of these players are too good to just let them stand there and have a wide open look. Like, she took her time, had time to get through it and check all of that in. Good morning, caller. State your name and where you're calling from. All right. Guess they didn't want to talk this morning. But anyway, so yeah, Benny, that's how I think that played out. But you are absolutely right. Like, they just stood there. It was a little crazy looking. Yeah, like I said. Right. But like I said, she had too much time to get herself set. And when you give somebody at that level that much time, even though the shot looked awkward, it looked weird, it looked crazy, we know it was a desperation shot. When you give them that much time by just standing there and watching them set their feet and do that and set it like that, that the chances, that the odds of them making it, in my opinion, increase. And in that particular player's mind and that team's mindset, it definitely hit that. Right. I mean, a lot of us probably could have hit that. The amount of time that she had to set it and measure that, a lot of us probably could have hit that, you know. So, I'm guessing that it will be a lesson learned or used as a teaching tool if they meet again in the overall national tournament. It's a good chance that they will. It was definitely a great game, though. Definitely. So, you know, like I said, it could be used as a tool. Definitely a lesson learned. You are correct. And it could be used as a learning tool, you know, as a teaching tool, for them. So they know you can't. And, I mean, I'm sure that'll be in part of their gaming. Who I got winning the entire thing in the women's. You know, the last couple games I saw from Dawn and them, I think that they're on a mission, and I'm riding with the South Carolina Gamecocks this year. I think they lost to Stanford last year. So the last couple games I saw from them, I see them possibly taking the women's tournament. On the men's side, I honestly am a little stuck right now on the men's side. I don't honestly see a clear-cut favorite on the men's side as I do, like, on the women's side. The men's side, it's more disparity this year. I don't know why, but it is. Houston is very, very good, and that would be a surprise for me if they won it, only because it would be unexpected for them to reach the finals and then win it. And no discredit to them. Like I said, they are very good. But for me, it's hard. It's tough for me right now to I don't actually see a clear-cut favorite. Like, I mean, we saw last year, their defense is really good. It's really solid. We saw last year that all signs were allegedly pointing at Purdue to take it all. And they were like the consensus favorite to win it all, and they got knocked out early. So we know how the men's game can go. We know how the men's tournament can go. It can go a lot of ways. You're going to have some Cinderella teams. You're going to have some surprise teams. You're going to have some teams that you just expect to be dominant or be advanced or advancing with things. Yeah, there's no clear cut pick. Absolutely. What I do like, though, folks and Benny, what I do like, though, is the fact that there are not as many of the quote unquote dominant teams that we've seen in the past being at the forefront right now, like the Kentuckys, the Dukes, even my guys, the North Carolinas, have been kind of shaky this year. You know, like I said, the Kentuckys, the Dukes, the North Carolinas, Purdue was right there in the mix, but we've seen the emergence of teams like Houston, Creighton, and some other teams. So, like I said, I'm happy to see that, because you tend to get tired of seeing the same teams all the time in the tournaments. You definitely tend to get tired of seeing it. So I'm glad that there is some disparity, and I'm glad that there are some other teams, some unexpected teams, if you will, that are moving up to the forefront. So I'm looking forward to the tournament, if you will. You know, like I said last week, arguably my most favorite time of the sports year. Selection Sunday is next Sunday. So next Monday, when I come back at y'all next Monday, I will have my annual NCAA preview. I'll be through some tournaments. I'll watch some tournament games this week, and then, you know, like the Saturday and early Sunday, and get a little read on some other teams, and maybe I can have a decision who I think could make some noise. I may or may not have a clear-cut favorite for myself, but I possibly could kind of clear some things up for myself. Let's see. How do you feel about the offering Athlete 600 for the Mii video, for the new video game coming out? I kind of like it, and I kind of don't. The reason I like it is because I've been in favor of these amateur athletes earning money for their services and their names being used on jerseys and things of that nature that are being sold, and they get none of that profit. Yeah, I got you, buddy. No, I got you, buddy. No problem. The reason that I don't like it is the fact that I think it may cause some friction with the NIL deals. We all know how the NIL deals have become more popular, becoming more rampant now, where there's like individual NIL deals, and then there's also team NIL deals. So that's the one thing that I could say I would dislike about them getting money for the video game. Because the video game is still in amateur status, and typically when you play the college versions of those video games, they don't have the names on the jerseys, and they don't have the names, and they have the numbers more so than, and I mean, people know who players are because of their attributes and because of being fans and watching the particular teams. Yeah, I get that EA Sports wants to give them that, and that's why I say my thing with the NIL bill, because it's an outside entity. Like I said, it has nothing to do with the school, but, you know, it could, I feel like it could possibly cause some type of friction or some type of bad competition with EA Sports and the NIL dealings or the business that want to, you know, incorporate, because, you know, they have to have clearances and things of that nature. Yeah, now if they do that, if they turn it into a deal for them, a legit deal, instead of just giving them the money like that, I think that could possibly work. And then you could have that EA deal, which could also be somewhat incorporated, like very similar to the NIL deals. But, you know, that's something that's in the early stages, I'm sure. It's something that's definitely going to continue to be talked about. But again, like I said, I feel like right now in the early stages, I just feel like it would be a little bit of, you know, bad competition for the NIL deals. But then, like you said, the second way, if it's just EA giving them the sport. Yeah, so they just going to make a player, right? So it's like they're not, the EA Sports is not really going to lose anything if, you know, if they don't. You know, I think I get where they're going with it. I think they could also even be, you know, now that I'm thinking about the way that you just said that and thinking of this whole thing through, it could also be a segue for them to get an NIL deal. They get that one-time deal, get put in this game, and depending on what their attributes are in the game, depending on the popularity of the game, you know, certain players could eventually develop or gain an NIL deal from being involved with this NIL, I mean, with this EA Sports thing. So, you know, it could work. You know, like I said, I just feel like where I'm at right now is where I feel. But thinking the whole thing through again, you know, it could work. You know, it could work. But again, like I said, it's definitely going to be a lot of chatter, a lot of talk about it since it's come up now. So it's going to be some continuous conversation on it. Let's see. Good game yesterday. I like the Sixers' new look. Holding down until Embiid is back. Mobamba looks better than I expected. And Kelly Oubre. Somebody just gave me that comment on Facebook. Let me know who you are. Yeah, I'll be following it too. And get into that real quick. Talking about the Sixers game yesterday. Yes, I agree. Good game. Okay, my guy Tom. Thank you, Tom, for tuning in. Yeah, definitely a good game yesterday. I'm glad that they won to pull themselves up out of the play-in tournament. Looking at what they did yesterday, I think they got the message from the coach who the other day said that he's still trying to figure out lineups. He's still trying to figure out which guys are going to fight when they're in this hole. Right now, I'm talking Sixers right now, Benny, so just stay tuned. So, yeah, yesterday, sloppy game on both sides of the ball for both teams. A little bit more sloppy for the Knicks because they lost that game. Tom, that just chimed in on Facebook, mentioned some things about Mo Bamba looking better. I think that's part in dealing with the Kyle Lowry situation. And I don't know what a lot of people were thinking when the chatter came up about him returning. You could very easily argue, seeing what he has done so far, you could very easily argue that we possibly got Kyle a year or two too late. But what he has done so far, he's made Mo Bamba look better. Like Tom just said, and Ben says he likes Mo Bamba. He's made Mo Bamba look better. And I say that in basketball terms, in basketball reasoning, in basketball logic. Whereas now he has a conventional, almost old school, legit point guard that can put him in the right places on the court. Yeah, he might just want to retire at home. It makes a lot of sense. Tom just chimed in too about that Lowry situation. But people that don't truly understand the game of basketball were all come somewhat in a tizzy when we brought it up. And like I said to you all, I said, you don't need him to come in and play 20, 25, 30 minutes for you. You do not need him to score 25, 30 points for you. You need him to come in and play 10, 15 minutes a night, somewhere between 6 to 8, 10 points, a few assists, but his leadership on the court, the things that control the game, exactly, Ben. Things that will not show up in the box score are the things that he brings, that he does very well, that he brings to the table that will help this team. And again, this is no discredit to Maxey, but you've seen how the short time he's been here and until Maxey's recent injury, how he's also helped Maxey even more. It was a big help for Maxey with the James Harden trade because it allowed Maxey to be a lot more free. Now he goes one step more into that free-willing zone with the point guard like Kyle Lowry, who can play alongside of him at certain points of the game. So you'll also see if and when Joel Embiid comes back, how things will be better for a lot more people. As we already have seen that Joel Embiid, before he got hurt, made things easier and a lot better for players like the Kelly Oubres, the Nicholas Batums, and De'Anthony Meltons, and even Tobias Harris, who I still think is a little inconsistent. But now we've seen Kelly Oubre stepping up with Maxey being out and Joel being out. And I like the aggressiveness of Kelly Oubre. I wish that Tobias Harris had some of that aggressive. I've said it. I was at the game Friday, and I said to my cousin, Charles, I'm sitting there, and I said, you know, my issue with him is he gets small when he tends to go. And I said it even before Thursday at work. I said he tends to get small when he goes to the cup. I was watching the Boston Celtics game, and I'm looking, and I'm like, I've been close to Tobias Harris in events and at games and down near the court. And in my opinion, he's a legit 6'8", okay? I'm having a hard time understanding and witnessing why you can't get buckets when you're being guarded by Derek White. You're obviously giving up possibly 4 or 5 inches, maybe a good 20, 30 pounds, and you tend to get small. You can't get a bucket against him. A lot of times now, unless it's in transition or clear driving lane to the basket, you go to the attack the basket, but then you get small at the rim. Unlike Kelly Oubre, who's smaller than you, but goes to the rim a lot more aggressive than you do. I need to see something else. Million Dollar Mall, my guy. Thanks for tuning in, my guy Jay Blake. Thank you always, my guy, for tuning in. So, you know, there are what? About 18 regular season games left in the season. Right now, the Sixers are the number six. If the playoffs started today, they would be number six seed in the playoffs. They're third in the Atlantic Division. Just like with the win yesterday, they moved themselves out of the play-in tournament. Prior to that, they were in the seventh seed. So if the playoffs started today, the Sixers would be on opening on the road against Cleveland. In actuality, I like, believe it or not, I like where the Sixers' positioning is, where they are right now. Because we've seen what happened to us in the past when we were that one, when we were in that 1-2-3 range. We saw what happened. I feel like at worst, Joel Embiid will be back with maybe somewhere between 3 to 5 games remaining in the regular season to get him some tune up, to get some rhythm going. But again, no matter when he does come back, if he does come back in the regular season, he's going to have to play himself into shape. Even if it comes in, if it comes with him coming back in the first round of the playoffs, he's going to have to play himself into basketball shape. That's just something that we just have to come to grips with right now, because we know that's what's going to happen. That's the situation that we're looking at. I think they can maintain and get out of the stay out of the play-in tournament. If not, I feel like they're becoming a team that some people might not want to play in the playoffs, either play in tournament or first round. And then because you have that factor with what they're doing now and the way that they've been fighting, they can carry that over. And then you throw in a somewhat healthy or healthy Joel Embiid, and you bring in another healthy DeAnthony Melton and possibly even a healthy Robert Covington with everything else that's there, Buddy Hield, Nick Batum, Kelly Oubre. If this young man that they're looking at bringing in, Kai Jones, can come in and give them anything as another big, you see a little bit better play in Mo Bamba, like we mentioned. You see a little bit better play in Paul Reed. So the workings are there. It's just a matter of it coming together and it coming together consistently. Again, my biggest issue is the Tobias Harris piece, because like I said, what I've seen over the past is he tends to be inconsistent. I wouldn't necessarily say a problem right now because we're still in the regular season. But I would say it could become a problem because, like I said, he's very inconsistent and he tends to get small, like when he's attacking the basket. And in the playoffs, we can't have that. Like, you think about it and you think about all aspects of it. in a lot of ways, he's making too much money to kind of bench him. Well, for me, it's been all the seasons, you know, not just season number two. I think he's been that way since he's been here. A couple of years, the early years, I give, it's about three now. But I said the earlier years with Brett Brown being here after the trade of him coming here, felt like there was some confusion. So I kind of gave him a little pass for those years. But when Doc came, there was still a little bit of confusion, but towards the end. But now you've got the free willing coach who's giving you some freedom, and Nick Nurse, and we still see the same thing. You know, you sometimes you give us some good games, and then you give us two or three good games like you did just recently, and then you give us a crappy game like 8 points. Then last night you only had like 10 points. And I get overall yesterday was a completely sloppy game in general, overall, period, point blank. But you still only give us 10 points, and you're being guarded by the likes of like Josh Hart, sometimes Dante DiVincenzo, guys that are smaller than you. And you can't consistently get buckets. See, Tobias killed me in more ways than one. Yesterday, Mr. Foul shot at the end of the game. Had a good start yesterday. He needs steadily. Yeah, and that's the problem I have with him. I'm sure that was Tom again on Facebook. That's the problem I have with him. Benny says he doesn't think he fits the offense. I think he can fit in the offense, but like you just were just commenting before I read that first comment, the very last one you just said, he's got to cook them guys. And that's the truth. That is the bottom line. Those are the guys that you have to get buckets on. We see it all the time. All the time we see it. And it's weird because we have to adjust to it. He's here. I mean, I'm glad it's the last year of the contract. But we won't know until free agency in the summer and see what happens and how he looks in free agency, if teams will offer him some money. But I have a feeling that he may go somewhere else and get another payday. I don't think he's going to get that big of a payday again here. But he may end up getting that payday somewhere else. I'm not 100% sure, but he may get it somewhere else. So with that being said, again, I do believe that the Sixers will stay out of the play-in tournament and remain in playoff form. Like I said, I think they're in a good spot for... Glad we ain't get him, Lakers. Yeah, I don't know who that is. I guess that might be Frank or whatever, but I don't know. We'll see what happens with the Sixers. Again, next week we will be talking NCAA tournament. That'll be our annual preview show. Just to give you the schedule for NCAA tournament. Next Sunday, the 17th, is Selection Sunday. Then I'll be here Monday with you with the recap of Selection Sunday, giving you the number one seeds, overall number one seeds, and go through as much of the bracket as I possibly can on that day. It will be solely NCAA preview Monday. Then we move into the 19th and the 20th of March will be the first four. The 21st and the 22nd was the official first round. 23rd and 24th, second round. 28th and 29th, Sweet 16. The end of the month, the 30th and the 31st, the Elite Eight. Moving into April, April 6th is the Final Four, and culminating with the championship game on April the 8th, which is always on a Monday night. So, the NBA, as I told you, has been discussing some possible rules changes, and these are allegedly rules changes in order to, quote, adjust offense, end quote. So I'm going to read all of them to you, And I'm going to go back and try and talk a little bit about them and how I feel about these rules that they have been discussing. So one of them is the to abolish the defensive 3 second rule. Next one, once the ball strikes the rim, any player can play the ball. They want to abolish the take fouls. They want to bring back hand checking. Next one, if the ball handler intentionally initiates contact with the defensive player, should be a no call or an offensive foul. Increase the foul limit to 8. All right. So, here we go. Let's talk a little bit about these things, these issues here. Abolish the defensive 3 second rule. For me, I think I would be okay with that. I don't remember why they brought it in anyway. But I think I would be okay with them abolishing the defensive 3 second. And again, it's a little confusing, but I guess, I understand it. I do understand it. Like I said, because I play and I referee, so I do understand the rules and I understand why they put it in, whatnot for real. But it could be a little confusing because we know that in the NBA, loosely, you can play zone now. For a long time, you couldn't play zone, but you are allowed to play zone. So having the defensive 3 seconds is a little confusing to me when you are allowed to play zone. But I understand how the rule was written in and how it plays into the game. I do understand that. So for me, abolishing the 3 second defensive 3 second rule would probably not be that big of a deal for me. Once the ball strikes the rim, any player can. If a guy gets drafted and goes into the G League, is he still eligible to get drafted, or is he just a move up contract? How are they drafting guys out of G League? Those guys are getting called up and getting initially 10-day contracts, or they're getting called up and getting signed to official NBA contracts. They're not redrafted. They get drafted or they get signed by G League teams. And if they get drafted, they sometimes get allocated to the G League affiliate of that particular team that drafted them. Then they can also get traded in the G League. They can get allocated to other teams in the G League. They can just, sign, get invited to the G League, try out and play, make the team. Yeah, in the mock draft, they have G League guys, but that's probably just the one team, the G League Ignite. But I'll definitely look into it more. But I don't believe that those guys could be drafted twice. So I think I'm going to have to look into that for you, though. Like I said, once the ball strikes the rim, any player can play the ball. These are very similar to the international rules that have been around for a long time, which for when they started letting pros go into the Olympics, took a long time or a little bit of time for them to get accustomed to. And then it became a super like advantage for them because of the athleticism with the Americans in the Olympics and things of that nature. This particular rule, I don't think it will work well in the actual NBA. They say they want to adjust offense. I don't know how that would help. I think that would hurt the offense, in my opinion, on the defensive side, because, like I said, once the ball touches the rim, any player can go get it. Abolish the take fouls. This is going to be one of the most difficult ones, I think, because it's been a long-standing strategy for coaches towards end of games and in specific situations of games. So if you take that out, now coaches have to come up with totally different game plans, new game plans in specific situations and at ends of games to help themselves stay in the game or help them give themselves a better chance to try and win a game or steal a game. So I think that would be the most difficult one to deal with if any of these were to come into fruition. Bring back hand checking. Something I think for me would be fun. I think it would be fun because I think it would intensify the defense. I think it would create an atmosphere of play that puts more onus on the coach and the offensive player to devise schemes and things of that nature to better deal with the more physical nature of the offense. Because now we know, I mean, of the defense, because now we know there's really no physical nature in the game today like it has been in the past. So for me, I think bringing back the hand checking would be fun. I think it would create more competitiveness because I think it would create more of a challenge between the individuals as far as in the one-on-one play with players in the NBA. And I think if that was the case with the hand checking being back in, I think they would also do some things to make the All-Star game more interesting. Because now you can hand check guys and you can play that type of defense in the All-Star game, and it would make it more competitive and not as crazy as with no defense as it has been the past couple of years. If the ball handler intentionally initiates contact with the defensive player, that should be a no call or an offensive foul. This is one that I think I can get behind. I feel that way a lot. If the ball handler initially, intentionally initiates that contact, right? Not initially, but intentionally initiates that contact, it definitely, I feel like it should be an offensive foul. If you're not going to call it an offensive foul, then I think it should be a no call. But more importantly, I feel stronger that it should be an offensive foul because you intentionally initiated that contact. It's not like, you played, it was an over-aggressive defense or anything like that. It was like you went searching for that contact. So that should be an offensive foul in my book. Increase the foul limit to 8. I don't know how I feel about that. You would give players more time to play. You give fans more time to see players that could possibly foul out with 6 fouls. You could make games more interesting if you put the foul limit up to 8. As players would be a lot more competitive when they got to maybe that 4th or 5th foul. And sometimes you have to sit players for a long extended period of time. And now you could kind of like have a better gauge on not sitting them so much and bringing them back in sooner than you would normally expect. So maybe that maybe could work. Increasing to 8 fouls maybe could work. So those are just some things that the NBA has been talking about. Nothing is definitely set yet, but there's some things that they are talking about. Real quick, a note, like I mentioned, free agency, NFL free agency begins on Wednesday, 4 p.m. There's been a lot of chatter, and there's almost like speculation that the first thing that you'll hear is that Saquon Barkley will be an Eagle come Wednesday. I will definitely keep my ear to the street on that story and let you know what happened as soon as I hear what happens. Just another tidbit for the Eagles moving into free agency. These are 9 linebackers that the Eagles could or should target in free agency. And we know that linebacker is a position that is a definite need of upgrade for the Philadelphia Eagles. And these are the names: Patrick Queen from the Ravens, Jordan Brooks from the Seahawks, Frankie Louvu from the Panthers, Devin White from the Bucks, Azeez Al-Shaair from the Titans, Josie Jewell from the Broncos, Levante David also from the Bucks, Willie Gay from the Chiefs, and former Eagle Jordan Hicks from the Minnesota Vikings. So, finally, folks, in my closeout, we have talked previously about the AAU circuit how we feel about the AAU circuit. Talked about that when my partner was here with me, Baldy, being as though he does coach still. Let's see, Landon Dickerson. Yes, he did. He got a 4-year, $85 million extension, the highest paid guard in NFL history. We definitely appreciate that. Hopefully, as we expect him to be, he will be worth all of that money. So recently, Jamal Crawford had a statement. He made some comments about the AAU. And some of the things that he said are some things that I agree with. I'm going to read to you some of the things that he said. And these is what I quote. There is a lot wrong with AAU, he says, but the parents are near the top of the list. The delusion that exists is crazy. If we're always making excuses for our children's behavior where it has to be someone else's fault and we're not teaching them accountability, we're setting them up to fail. If we're always criticizing a coach or program who is given their own time to benefit your child's development and well-being, and that's not enough, you should coach them to give them all you want them to have. As parents, we have to be better. All right? He says, looking back when he played, his parents took most pride in that. His mom and dad never complained to one coach. They said, if you want these things, you figure it out and go get better. So I kind of agree with a lot of the stuff that he said. And this is me from being a former coach. A lot of parents don't understand, and I haven't had to say it at one time, just like he said at one time. In a locker room, you know, I'm taking time out of my Saturday mornings and my afternoons to come to practice and be here for these kids, to help these kids enjoy a sport and possibly get better in a sport that they like or love or will grow to love. And you're here complaining, but I'm the one giving up my time standing on the sideline. If you want it to be your way, then you give up your Saturday morning. You come stand on the sideline. You give up your evenings during the week and you come and run these practices and deal with these kids. Sometimes have to take some of these kids home. Sometimes have to pick some of these kids up to take them to games and get them back and forth. So I agree with what he says there a lot. When he says about the making excuses, I've had to tell parents, listen, for this hour, hour and a half, or whatever time I got them for practice or for games, I need you to let them go. I need you to leave it alone until I'm done. When I'm done and you go home, y'all can talk about whatever y'all want to talk about in the car, in the side of the gym, in the corner of the gym, after practice, whatever. But while he's here with me, I need you to let it go and let me have him. And I've had to tell parents things that a lot of coaches have a hard time with, and some don't, some even don't want to do. I've had to tell parents that your kid is not as good as you believe he is. But I'm willing to work with him, but I need you to let me do the work. I can't have you confusing them, crossing the wires with me giving them one thing in practice and then you giving them something totally different to contradict everything that I said for the team that he's playing for, from the, as the coach that he's playing for, and the parent. This is where the wires get crossed. This is where things get bad. And this is where parents begin to make excuses for kids, but in essence, they're setting their kids up to fail, like Jamal Crawford said. With that being said, folks, great, great show. Thank you to everybody that tuned in this morning. My guy, Benny Blanc, Jay Blake, Million Dollar Mall. Who else? That was pretty much it this morning. I know some other people were tuned in. I'm sure you all enjoyed the show as well. Remember, next Monday should be the official time change, moving from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Monday. So you'll still get the recap of the weekend just a little bit later time, and you will still get great, great content, which will give me opportunity to bring you more content on Monday evening and afternoon than I can on Monday morning. So it'll be fun. Just a little change for that because the time change and some things at work. Schedules for today. Got spring baseball, as I mentioned earlier. Yankees and the Phillies will play today in the NHL. We've got the Blues and the Bruins, the Capitals and the Jets, the Devils and the Rangers, the Islanders and the Kings. in the NBA today. You got the Hornets and the Pistons, the Suns and the Cavs, the Mavs and the Bulls, the Warriors and the Spurs, Raptors and the Nuggets, and the Celtics and the Blazers. Again, like always, folks, thank you all for tuning in each and every Monday. Like I said, note, I will be telling you all week about and reminding you about the time change. As you remember, you see the shirt courtesy of at Making It Yours. It is the logo for the YouTube page. You see the subscribe button right down there. Get over to YouTube. Check out the videos that you like. Sports Rap TV is the channel. Check out the videos that you like. All right, hit the thumbs up on those because you like them. Then make sure you subscribe first and foremost. Then you hit the like on the videos that you like. Then you hit the bell to make sure that you are alerted when new content is up. You can also get me right here on Facebook. Sports Rap Podcast LLC is the group page. On Instagram, TikTok, and Threads at Sports Rap CEO. Like I said, YouTube channel, Sports Rap TV, webpage, sportsrapradio.com. You can also get audio on iHeart, Apple, Google, Spotify, Anchor, Spreaker, and most of your podcast outlets. Remember, weather will start beginning to change for the better. Time went up an hour, so make sure you adjust your clocks and get yourself situated and acclimated to the time change. Not too bad of a day, still pretty windy. Little breezy, but not too bad. So get out and enjoy some of this air today if you can. And listen, as always, be great on purpose. Talk to y'all all week on social media. Right back here next week. Later time, make sure you stay tuned in all week for the update. Peace.